For the past 50 years, a facility hidden away in the hills behind our national capital has been vital to the work of the world's greatest space agency, NASA, and its historic missions in space. The Canberra Deep Space Communication Complex at Tidbinbilla has been an integral part of space exploration, and NASA says that's not going to change anytime soon. As the Tidbinbilla complex celebrates its 50th year, so does NASA's Deep Space Network. And joining the celebrations this week is the head of NASA, Charles Bolden. He joins us from Canberra. Charles Bolden, welcome to breakfast.
Good to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Charles, but I can't help but say it's a long way from the halls of NASA headquarters to Tidbinbilla Space Station in the hills outside Canberra. How significant has Australia been in NASA's missions in space?
Oh, they've been very significant throughout our history. We're here to this time to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Deep Space Network, and actually the site itself has just completed its 49th year, so they're into their 50th year celebration. But they've been working with us from the time of our founding in 1958, and of most significance has been the fact that with each incredible milestone, Neil Armstrong setting his foot on the moon, Curiosity landing on Mars, Voyager leaving the solar system, then most of the time the initial signal has come through Tidbinbilla and the tracking stations here.
I think many of us do know a little about the involvement of Tidbinbilla of the station in 1969 when Neil Armstrong made history. What are some of the other key missions we played a role in? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you play a role in every planetary mission that we've been flying. Every deep space mission, communication at some time or other comes back. And, for example, over the next 10, 20 years, most of the planetary missions, say going to Mars or Jupiter or Saturn, Earth will be aligned such that the communications is best received in the southern hemisphere. And right now we have one tracking station in the southern hemisphere, and that's here. So you will continue to play a critical role.
And we did play a critical role at Tidbinbilla, I say we in the royal sense, with the landing of the Curiosity rover on Mars in
That's
August
correct.
Of that year.
Next year,
I think there's another starring role, isn't there, for Tidbinbilla and Mars?
There is, because we have MAVEN, which is an upper atmosphere study satellite that's on its way to Mars. We'll get there in September, actually. And so once again, we'll be getting data through Tidbinbilla. In 2016, we're launching a mission that's called InSight that will actually core into the Martian interior, into the soil of Mars. Those signals will come through Tidbinbilla again. So our future is much brighter than our past, which in itself was pretty good.
Let's talk about the future for NASA, because President Obama recently released his fiscal year budget for 2015 plan, and there was good news for NASA. What is NASA doing with that money? Is the plan sending humans to Mars, is that NASA's focus at the moment?
In the human exploration arena, in fact, human and science arena, that is our primary goal. It is getting humans on Mars in the 2030s, but there's a lot of work to be done on the way to doing that. So there's technology that has to be developed. There are things we need to understand about Mars and its atmosphere, Mars and the surface. And so we're using science precursors such as Curiosity, InSight, MAVEN, and other. We have Mars 2020, which will be a Curiosity-like rover that's going to be launched in 2020, and will actually collect samples that will for subsequent return to Earth. So our human and our scientific programs are pretty much joined at the hip as we traverse off to Mars in the 2030s. The other important stepping stone in that is an asteroid redirect mission that we're trying to get put together now. We will slate having astronauts on an asteroid in as early as 2025, which would be an opportunity for us to demonstrate the technical capabilities that we'll need to go to Mars. Also, demonstrate that we have a robust environmental control system in the Orion crew module, which will be the vehicle that, they will use to go there. So we've got a lot of work to do, but we have a stepping stone approach that we think will get us there safely and efficiently.
It's 11 past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is NASA Administrator Charles Bolden, who's currently in Australia visiting the Tidbinbilla Communications Complex, a deep space complex outside of Canberra. Having astronauts on an asteroid or sending humans to Mars, what do you actually mean, Charles, when you say that? Because, of course, my mind immediately goes to, you know, setting up communities and living a life, but we're not talking that.
Well, actually, when you talk about Mars, my belief is that over time, we will actually have human habitation on Mars. It won't be like the Apollo mission when we went to the moon, flew six missions, went, took samples, and came back. This time, I think humanity is intending to actually set up camp and stay there. That's one of the reasons that we need to understand whether Mars can sustain life in any form. You know, we'll need to know whether humans will live in underground encampments or whether they can live above ground, because the threat there is the radiation, the harsh radiation environment, much harsher than Earth anyway. So those are many of the answers that we have to solve before we actually begin to colonize, if you will. But I think humans, you know, when you and I look back on this, when we're great-grandparents in the 2030s and beyond, humans will be setting up a place to live for long periods of time on Mars.
And
we
what's
live in
the
space
attitude
right now.
What's the attitude towards space and exploration and Mars and Mars and beyond within Congress? As I mentioned, the funding seems to be there, but are we heading to war? Will we ever head back to a space war? We've got China investing in space now, or is this a global project?
It's a global project, and one of the things that that we continually mention is that this is an international endeavor. If you look, a great example is the International Space Station, where we have five agencies that have been working collaboratively over the last 15 years. It's been permanently inhabited for the last almost 14 years now, where there's not been one second when there have not been humans living and working in space for six-month increments. And next year, we're going to send Scott Kelly and a Russian cosmonaut who will live on the International Space Station for 1 year. So that's all a part of the stepping stone approach of being able to put humans on Mars for long periods of time.
And Charles Bolden, just finally, can I bring you back to Earth? The world is gripped, really,
yes,
by the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines MH370. Is there anything NASA can do to help in finding that aircraft? Has it been involved using its tracking facilities like Tidbinbilla, but all the satellites that NASA manages?
The major role that we are playing is making all of our Earth science assets available to decision authorities that will need them, whether it's the State Department in the U.S., or some of our international partners, but we've not been asked directly to do anything. But all of our spaceborne and airborne assets are standing at the ready if for some reason we get involved.
Does it surprise you haven't been asked yet to either deploy that satellite capacity you have or the information you may have registered? They may have registered.
No, I wouldn't say it's surprising. See, everything that we have is in the public domain. So the National Command Authority, all the way from the President and the White House, the Department of Defense, everyone knows how to get access to the data that comes from our airborne and spaceborne assets. So they don't have to ask our permission to use that. For example, orbiting satellites that are looking at the oceans, measuring salinity and the like. Those are always available, and anyone in the public can have access to that. If there is something specific that they want done, looking at a particular area for an intense amount of time, then we would get engaged. But so far, I think, as you've seen in the media, no one knows exactly where to look yet, so you can't pick a defined area.
That's the problem. Charles Bolden, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Charles Bolden is the administrator of NASA, currently in Australia celebrating 50 years, coming up to 50 years of the Tidbinbilla Communications Complex and 50 years of NASA's Deep Space Network.